Hello, and welcome to Vancouverite, your favorite Friday hangout, talking comedy, talking news, listening to music. Oh, it's a great time every week on 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territories. I'm Alex Biron, and I'm here with...
Hamza Zane.
Yeah, Hamza Zane, insane, in the membrane. Ugh, hated that. Okay, let's keep it going. Theme song coming from the very talented Jamie Cook. My roommate, Jamie Cook. And he works for a really cool marketing firm, like a modern day Mad Men style guy.
Does he get to drink at like 10 a.m.?
No. That has gone by the wayside, unfortunately. Or maybe for the best.
I mean, I feel like you just have to believe in yourself enough and you can drink at 10 a.m. anytime.
There's probably some drinking that happens. But why I wanted to bring that up is last night I was asking him, I want to know about what your projects, what are you doing? Because I see him stressing out at night. And so he's like, oh, I need more ideas for tomorrow. And I'm just like, oh, that's so sexy. Oh, you're too much information. Anyway, you're so cool. What are you doing? What? And he's like, well, I got this, our company's doing marketing for this pizza company. Maybe I shouldn't say what the company is, but let's go for it. Don't tell anyone if you're listening.
There's like five pizza companies.
Yeah. It's a small place.
Okay.
Called
Domino's.
Virtuous. Virtuous. The cat's out of the bag. They got the big rooster.
They got it.
They got a Virtuous Pie is what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, they're trying to come up with some sort of ad campaign. And then I was like, oh, let me get involved. I can do this. You know, at first I was like, you know, it'd be really great. You should get like a comedian from Vancouver.
Yeah.
You know, if you know what I mean. Okay, maybe a comedian to
a little bit of self-promotion.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, maybe you can recommend someone. He's like, oh, you're a dick. Anyway. but we started spitballing and I was like, yeah, maybe you could have like a... He came up with the idea for like a pizza vending machine, which is pretty awesome. But I was like, hey, what about like a confession booth? Mm-hmm. That people go and they confess their sins and then they get pizza. I don't know.
I'm just curious about the semantics of the pizza vending machine here. Like,
we all are.
Is it like an oven that keeps it hot all the time?
I don't. It sounds really dangerous, which
I
like.
Yeah, well, because think about how many vending machines kill people a year, more than sharks, I imagine.
Yeah, right? And it's usually just the weight.
Yeah.
Of the vending machine.
And now you've got the heat.
This is a good stuff. Yeah. It's anyway, we're here with Hamza.
Yep.
And this is interesting because I thought you were someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did.
I thought you
did.
Were. This is a situation where someone goes, hey, can I be on your show? And then I'm too lazy to actually click and open the profile.
Even though we've met numerous times.
Even though we've met numerous times. I thought you were someone else. And I go.
you thought I was somebody who's doing much better in the comedy world.
True. and so I go, of course, you're a legend. I can't wait to have you on the show. And then I meet and I go, put on some weight. And I go, it's fine. You know, maybe he's going through a breakup or something. I'm not one to judge. And I go, so you did the Winnipeg Comedy Festival? And you go,
nope,
no, I didn't.
Nope.
I go, you were there doing a guest spot with me. Oh, no, you weren't.
Nope.
And I go, you're not the guy. This is kind of like, but you're a great guy. I love this guy. There's no problem.
I'm an all right guy.
You're fine. I'll make do. But this is like when you swipe on Tinder and you're like, yes. Oh, 100% yes. Let's go on a date. Mm-hmm. And there's two girls in the picture.
Yeah.
It's the one in the background, the lurker.
Yeah.
You fooled me.
I'm always in the background.
Yeah. So you got your date. We're going to be here for at least an hour hanging out. And we've only done 2 minutes. Wow. You can call in. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. You can call in 604-822-2487. And we'll have a blast. We'll be talking. We'll be chatting. Yeah, things are happening. It's an exciting time to be alive. I was on a show last night, One Hitter.
Oh, you were on the One Hitter show.
Seven Dining Lounge, and I won.
Nice.
Yeah, I won the competition. Got some money. I'm going to be in the finals.
Out of curiosity, who was headlining last night?
Kevin Banner.
Ooh, that must have been a great show.
No, it wasn't.
No?
He's a great comic, but it was a rough show.
Really?
Really rough show.
Was it audience or was it just like...
It was audience.
Yeah? We're blaming the audience.
It was a full stinkeroo of
was it just like
great
a room?
Show. They run a great show there. They run a great show. It's a great idea. One
was
of the
it
better
a room of comics or
no? It was a room of people. They come out. It was packed. Sometimes a good show has a small crowd, a small dedicated crowd.
Yeah.
So the worst crowds are the packed. Because if there's just a if it's a small crowd and they stink, it's like, well, you guys suck. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make fun of you and you. There's no one here. This sucks.
Yeah.
But it, if it's a full room, it's like, wow, people are horrible. I hate all of you as a group.
Yeah.
Genocide.
Well, I mean, there's still there's the adverse thing, right? Where like you have a small room and you can tell when like two people aren't laughing.
Yeah.
That's the worst. That's I hate that more than having like a full room of people. Because if it's a full room of people not laughing, then there's a consensus there. You know?
All right. Well, that's one way of looking at it. It's a little weird though because it's bad. It's a bad consensus.
Oh yeah, but that just means like I got to be funnier, which is just a well, thing that I should probably take to heart anyway.
That's what I did. I elevated my game. I brought it, but it was there was some B O N bombs last night. Ooh. Oh, there was some, but pretty much everyone. I mean, Kevin was struggling. The host was struggling. I imagine the servers and the people. I bet the cooks were bombing. It was so bad.
Oh,
I popped my B on that one. Sorry, guys. Turn my channel down. And, you know, it was rough. It was really rough. And I was lucky to get out of there alive, let alone with the win. But I'm happy. I'm really happy. It was nice. Thoughts, comments?
I've been meaning to get myself on to that One Hitter Quitter show.
Oh, you should do it.
Every time I just forget that it's like an email thing of like emailing the guys who run it. And
what a dedicated comic you are.
I know.
Oh, I have to email this.
No, it's always the thing of like, I forget that it's a show that's happening because it's a monthly show, right? And then I'll see like it's being advertised and I'll be like, oh yeah, I should sign up for that.
Yeah,
and then they post a list of comics.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well.
I'm making fun of you, but I really, yeah, that's, I did that same thing. For a while. But last night at the Yuck Off, so it was One Hitter at Seven Dining Lounge. Mm-hmm. That's where I was. I was supposed to be on the Yuck Off show, and that show was tough because all the comics were really good. That it was the hardest week.
I heard
week.
That was like a really stacked
brutal
lineup.
Oh, it was some of my favorite comics. Stuart Jones, Gavin Matz, Mark Nesbitt, Joey Camisio. Great female comics too. It was being on that
none
show.
None of which will be named.
Being on that show, Amber Harper Young. I remember her, and then some others too. I don't. It was brutal, and I was supposed to be in that week too.
Yeah,
you can imagine. I mean, it would have created like a time hole. I mean, this talent there as well. No, I was very happy when I had to switch dates to be in One Hitter. I was like, this is really two birds with one stone.
Well, because you're setting yourself up for.
I switched to a week with some soft targets. I'll tell you, some newbies. So that'll be nice. Hopefully, do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually you're just gonna have to run into all these heavy hitters that are just moving up
in round two. If I make it, yeah. Well, you got to face your fears eventually. But you know what? You put it off. That's what they say, right? It's healthy to put off challenges as long as possible.
Never face your fears.
No one's ever
never
said
do
that.
It.
Yeah. What's going on in the world of news? Probably some really.
What is
happy
going on?
Stories. Do Canadians really pay for milk? Oh, we're not reading that story. That sounds dull.
That sounds like that's. I
don't
I
care.
That's national news here.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Ooh.
The Conservatives' foreign affairs critic is calling the Chinese foreign minister's admonishment. That's one word which I feel like. I will never in my life know what that word means. Admonishment.
Admonishment.
I don't care to know. I wish people would stop using it. Get this word out of the English language, of a Canadian reporter on Wednesday. Unacceptable. While a former ambassador to Beijing sees the visiting minister's tantrum as a fallout from years of troubled relationships with a communist country. You know what? I mean, how about taking a little responsibility, China? Isn't that the communist way? One for all. And, you know, I mean, it's our fault. Come on, China must learn.
Yeah, because communism's worked so well before.
Yeah.
So
China must learn from other countries that there are acceptable norms of behavior when dealing. Oh, this is a real scolding.
Ooh.
When dealing with other nations. Bad. Conservative foreign affairs critic Tony Clement said, Tony Clement, that guy was born to be a foreign affairs critic.
Yeah, it's
Tony
just a nice,
Clement.
Like, tight name.
Yes.
You know?
Very tight. Said in an interview with CBC News Thursday, I thought it was totally outrageous that he would come to Canadian soil and act in such a disrespectful way to... What did he do? I'm missing the... They're burying the hook here. I'm not aware.
It's something about admonishment, as I recall.
A Canadian journalist asking a legitimate question. If we go to Beijing as ministers or MPs, we were always told there are certain historical and cultural aspects of the Chinese that we have to be differential to and respectful of. Oh, they're editing us. censorship. And then he comes here and disrespects our values. So that was unacceptable.
Mm. Huh. I'm just really stuck on this admonishment thing right now. You brought it up, and I can't let it go. Like, that's the type of word that, like, I use in...
Oh, it says it right there. He admonishment of a Canadian reporter.
Yeah.
Okay,
sorry. I feel like that's the type of word that, like, a university student uses in a paper, with, like, they thesaurus that word in. Because they're like, I've got to make this paragraph sound real smart.
Yeah, it says that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau met with the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, who looks like a mobster. Yi publicly berated a Canadian reporter who asked about the country's human rights record. Interesting.
Hmm.
Well, here, let's check out the clip. I can't wait to see this.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, maybe we can reverse engineer this and figure out what admonishment means. I'm probably not even saying it right. And, I don't know. I mean, I feel like yelling at reporters is always a bit of a douche move, if I may say so, because you got all the power. You're the when you're a it's so pathetic.
Well,
these guys
unless
are
you're like a coach for a sports team, right? And then
oh,
you can
sporting,
yell at all you want.
Yeah, sporting completely different. It all goes on the
then
on
we
the
all love
field.
It.
But I wonder what. I mean, yeah, feel free to play another ad. That's fine. I mean, why would you play the clip after the first ad? That's fine. CBC, yeah.
Let's just get
I want an admonishment of these ads.
What is this ad for?
Wine.
Ugh. It was a tent before.
Yeah. Hi, Minister Dion. Amanda Connolly with iPolitics.ca. Thank you for taking our questions today. There are no shortage of concerns about China's...
Ooh, she flubbed it.
Yeah,
you can tell she's... He senses weakness. Oh, I'm going to throw this wench under the bus. Okay, his blood.
The Hong Kong booksellers... and its detention of the Garretts, not to mention the destabilizing effects of its territorial ambitions in the South China Sea. Given these concerns, why is Canada pursuing closer ties with China? How do you plan to use that relationship to improve human rights and security in the region? And did you specifically raise the case of the Garretts during your discussions with the foreign minister today?
Ooh, that's bad.
that is
a bad tone
deep,
of voice.
That is a deep Chinese voice.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what the translation of that is.
I want to make a response to the questions asked by this journalist about China.
But I can't because she's too dumb. Oh, that's not nice. See, if we thought his tone was bad before,
he is laying into her.
This guy is lit. Oh, man.
I have to say that your question is full of prejudice and against China and arrogance, where I don't know where that comes from. And this is totally...
Well, it comes from facts. Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Keep those jazz hands out of here.
你知道中国现在已经成为人均8000美元的一个世界第二大经济体吗? 如果我们不能够很好地保护人权的话, 中国能取...
Wouldn't it be great if he was actually like, thank you for your very legitimate question, and she's
and the translator
she's like, I'm gonna cause a little tension here. This is boring.
What was like that translator for, what was it?
Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela, the guy who was just making stuff up?
Yeah. He started scatting up there. Yeah. Skip daddly doo-ba-dabba-doo-ba-dee. Well, that was Cosby.
I don't know where the Cosby came from,
but...
Just listening to an Asian talk. Well, long-winded.
Yeah, this
come on, let's hear the translation.
中国欢迎一切善意的这种建议，但是我们拒绝任何无端的指责。
Okay.
I have to ask whether you.
You can tell she was. You can tell he was like, oh.
She's like, should I say this?
Tell me how you really feel.
Have you been to China? Do you know that China has lifted more than 600 million people out of poverty? And do you know that China is now the second largest economy in the world from a very low foundation?
Yeah, we've seen the smoke. We know about the economy, believe me. I know I'm coming off as a little anti-China, right? I'm just taking the, you know, this is for comedic effect. I don't hate China, don't worry.
Do you think...
And it's a comedy
I mean, you
show.
Do a little bit. You do a little bit.
Don't say that. It's a content warning. I'm trying to Shut up, Panda.
Development is possible for China without protection of human rights. And do you know that China has written protection and promotion of human rights in...
And do you know that when it snows... would she be a legend if she did that? If she slipped that in, that would be amazing. Little seal.
...to our constitution. And
is that what they call China's prime minister, Little Seal?
I could never do a job like that because I would be too tempted to make jokes.
Other people don't know better than the Chinese people about the human rights condition in China. And it's the Chinese people who are in the best situation, in the best position to have say about China's human rights situation.
Biased.
So
you
don't like being criticized.
Well, that's like anytime like a dictator is like asked like why are all these people dying? He's like, nobody's dying.
They love me. Everyone loves me.
I was really close to doing an Idi Amin impression, and then I just backed off because I was like,
because it would have sounded like Cosby.
Yeah.
See, people that are bad at impressions, and I'm including myself in this. We, all of our.
Oh, I'm great at impressions. I don't know where the Cosby even came from.
Well, it was a great Cosby.
Yeah, it really was.
So maybe I'm not giving you enough credit.
Just can't do it anymore now. It is a social faux pas.
For a long period, all of my accents sounded Australian.
Really?
No matter what. Yep. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
See, I'm real bad at the Aussie accent. Scottish. Can't get it.
Oh, the Scottish accent.
I can do Irish just fine.
Oh, let's hear it. It's one of the easiest accents.
Well, no, it's...
Unless you're doing a real... See, dude, with the leprechaun. No, that's simple.
Because I've been trying to work it into a joke, obviously, right?
Sure.
And, like, it's... My neighbors in my building, both of them are Irish. Like, both suites beside me are Irish. And so I love my Irish neighbors because they're always drunk. And I like, it's not even a stereotype. They're legitimately always drunk whenever I see them. And, like, middle of the day, I had one knock on my door.
Yeah.
And I, like, open it. I'm just playing video games or whatever. Mm-hmm. I open it, and he's hammered.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, like, 6 p.m. maybe.
Right.
But he's been drinking for a while. And he looks at me and goes, "You're a comedian, right?"
Oh, that's good.
I was like, yeah. He goes, "Can I swear out of curiosity?" I can't swear, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, just know that when I don't speak, it's an F-bomb being thrown at me.
All right. Just say fudge.
What's the funniest movie? And you better say Dumb and Dumber. And I was like, oh.
Well, that's good because that is the funniest movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great,
great
movie.
Taste.
But I was like, I don't know if that's my favorite comedy movie. And he goes, "What's your favorite movie?" I go, In Bruges, I really love that movie. He goes, just kind of looks at me for a while, and he goes, "Great movie."
It is, yeah.
And then he just left.
See, this is what happens when two... See, that could have been a really bad situation.
Yeah.
If you had said, "Pitch Perfect." Oh! Oh, bottles would be flying.
He would have murdered me.
Yeah.
He would have murdered me with the Jameson bottle, I assume he had.
He was... The Irish love to fight. He was... But you dropped such a great cinephile... knowledge on him.
Yeah.
He had no choice but to
he
lead
like,
you to the pot of gold.
He just he turned into a leprechaun because of how good it was.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned his fellow Irishman Colin Farrell.
"What about to throw down out here?" "Throw up your fists. We're fighting. Oh, but have you seen my dinner with Andre?"
Dinner with Andre, wow.
"A breakout role for Wallace Shawn. Now we're best of friends." I love the idea of two guys that are going to fight and then
they're just cinephiles, so they like mutually bond.
Oh, it's great.
"Did you know that Prince was the one who did the Batman soundtrack?"
Oh, I want to punch you so bad, but he wrote Manic Monday too. Little known fact. Oh, God, we're having a great time here. I'm so glad you're not that other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, not really. He is.
My favorite Planet of the Apes was the one by Michael Bay.
I'm killing it. But he didn't even do one.
What, Michael Bay?
Did he do a Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, he did the... Was it Michael Bay?
Oh, you're an idiot. It was Tim Burton.
Tim Burton. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
You know what it was? I just read a review of the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I got Michael Bay on the mind. Why did I read that review? I don't know.
Was it a good review?
No, it wasn't.
That movie looks stinky.
Yeah, it looks real bad.
I see. I feel like even if I had kids, because it's like once you become a dad, you're supposed to like, okay, I'll take them to some kids' movies. I don't want to go to Angry Birds or whatever. But I'm not going to. I would never go to that movie. I'd be like, I'll leave you in the theater, but you know.
Well, I remember, like, I have a brother who is 10 years younger than I am.
Right.
And so when the last Transformers came out, was it like, or not even the last one, the one before, number three, the one that still had Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
My brother really wanted to see it. Half hour into that movie, he got a migraine because of how just, like, nonstop, like, dumb that movie is.
Yes.
And since then, he's never wanted to see any of these big special effects, like, Michael Bay movies anymore. And they're, like, targeted to him as a 13-year-old. And he's like, no, no, I just don't want to do that to myself.
Good egg.
Yeah.
I like him.
He went and saw The Revenant instead with my dad.
What did you think of that?
What did he think of it?
Well, you saw it, right?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think of it?
I was all right. I wasn't...
a little overrated.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, I saw it before all of the hype kind of came out about it. And it's good. It's fine.
Yeah, it's good.
It's
kind of like it's really just an action movie, essentially.
Yeah, and
but it's like
I
a really...
don't think Leo gave the best performance this year. Like, he won the Oscar because, like, everybody wanted him to win the Oscar.
Is it really that hard to be cold?
No.
No, not really.
Like, oh, I'm cold. It's great.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a hard... I mean, he doesn't even talk most of the movie.
No.
He doesn't really. He just kind of gargles a bunch.
And the beard covers a lot of his face.
Yeah.
I think the beard really should have won the Oscar.
I think what should have won the Oscar is the fact that Tom Hardy had like half
You
head.
Just spat and it became a bubble in the air.
I know.
That was incredible. That's, oh, man, if we had Periscope right now, we could. That was.
I'm so. Is this my superpower?
He kind of spit up a bubble and it floated into the air and then went back into his mouth.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Well, I just saw the new X-Men, so I've been testing out my powers.
Yeah.
This is all.
I love that idea of the guy, like, in that world, there's people, there would be X-Men that just have horrible power. This is so hack, but it's just a great idea. The guy that's like, oh, I'm a mutant. What is it? You can push, like, you can grow BO faster than everyone else.
Well, I mean, if we really think about it, Mystique's powers.
Couldn't even improvise a bad power. That was great. You're terrible at comedy.
That's yelled at me all the time. That's fine.
Yeah.
No, like, Mystique's powers are not the greatest.
It's debatable.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. It sounds cool on paper, right? She can change into whoever she wants.
Yeah.
But in a fight, what good is she really? Like, well, she can change into somebody else.
Can she change into a mutant and have their powers? No, right?
No.
See, that's why she's not only just a shapeshifter, she's a shapeshifter with martial arts skills.
Because
if she was just a shapeshifter. But they would have been way better if they just made her a shapeshifter. That would have added more. But everyone's got to be the best in fighting and all. Yeah.
Well, have you seen the new one?
No, and I will not.
No?
No.
What, is this some sort of stand that you have against it?
No, I just don't like those kind of movies. Horrible CGI, just over the top.
Yeah, it's...
No stakes. I hate it.
The thing I realized about the new X-Men movies is I can watch Michael Fassbender do anything at this point.
Sure.
He's just real good.
Bit of a hard-on for that. He's cool.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
Real good actor.
Wish I was
just him doing the hand stuff that makes metal move. It's not even real, but I could watch it.
I feel like that would be a fun way to... Like, that's a fun role. Make the... Pretend push the metal over there. You know? I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm ready. All right, we're gonna have to take a short break, and when we get back, we will talk about something else. And this is the worst cut to break possibly of all time. You're listening to Vancouverite on CATR 101.9.
This is my shimmering life prize. All I must do is create a diversion. What could distract people who love sports? Sports, 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 sports.
Do you find sports distracting? Feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Salam. Roozetun bekhair. My name is Sahand, the president of UBC Persian Club.
And this is Yasaman, the VP admin.
UBC Persian Club is a non-profit student organization with the goal of empowering the Iranian community at UBC by acting as a social hub for Iranian students, bringing together diverse members of the community who have a common interest in Iranian culture, and nurturing and representing the Iranian community in Vancouver.
We have monthly member-exclusive events, Pelon, we screen documentary movies and short films by Iranian directors with English subtitles. Music Music Gatherings, a series of casual music gatherings at which students can play different types of instruments, and sports events and game nights.
Our regular events are member exclusive and you will receive 25% discount on our annual events. You can visit us at ubcpc.com or email us through info@ubcpc.com.
Or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
You are back on CITR 101.9. We broadcast every Friday, 10 a.m., and boy, do we have a great time together. This is Raiders of the Lost Ark, Beyond the Dark. During commercials, we were talking about Chris Kyle. You saw American Sniper. I didn't see American Sniper.
I did, mostly because I wanted to see the fake baby and see how fake it's real fake.
Yeah,
like you can tell Bradley Cooper's just shaking like one of those like toy babies you can buy at like Toys R Us.
Yeah, because it's so hard to get a baby on set.
Well, I mean,
you got to sign things.
Have you seen any movie ever that has a baby? It looks infinitely more realistic than what they did.
Yeah.
You can see like Bradley Cooper's hand moving the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like he's holding it, like moving it up and down, trying to give it like any.
That's brutal.
It's so bad.
Ugh. I just love that. There's this theory, this idea within philosophy that bad things are infinitely more important than good things. So if you have a bowl of strawberries, mm-hmm. and you put in a cockroach. Whole bowl of strawberries was ruined.
Yeah.
But if you have a bowl of cockroaches, put in one strawberry, doesn't make it any better. Right? And I feel like that's... If you have one little pooper in your movie, a little screw-up...
Well, I mean, overall, the movie isn't great either, but, like, that just... It really draws the attention when you have this big budget production, and then you have a Toys R Us baby in it.
Yeah. And then there was all that controversy with Chris Kyle, which maybe you can... Explain to me, because I didn't read any of the...
I kind of saw it in passing, but basically what I read is that in his book that American Sniper is based upon, yes. That he wrote, he, I guess, like, fudged his military record, so he gave himself more commendations, like, in the book than he actually received. Like, he did receive commendations, but I think he gave himself, like... I don't remember what the names of them are. One of them is like the third most prestigious thing that like somebody in the military can receive. And he said he got two of them.
Right.
He only got one.
I know what that's called.
What
is
it?
It's the really good badge.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got a really good
badge. And then he got a not as good badge, but still pretty good badge. He got like, he said he got five of them.
Five?
Yeah, and then he
really...
got three.
Oh, why don't you take the three? The three is good enough.
And the thing is, here's the thing about it, though. He apparently, like, sent his book out to, like, people that he served with.
Right.
Like, you know, different lieutenants, commanders, and stuff like that. I don't know any – I don't know if commanders even exist anymore or if that's a Civil War thing.
You're just saying importance.
Yeah.
Gandalf and –
Yeah. The – and Myax. He sent it around to all these people and – They're like, no, this isn't right. You didn't get this many things. And he's like, I'm going to print it anyways. And then he printed it, and the book was a bestseller. And now it's like coming out like how about 3 years after his death or whatever.
Right.
People are like, no, it wasn't right.
Well, I guess it's tempting, you know. That's why you should never be the one writing your own book.
Well... I mean, I've always attempted to write my own book, but it's just not...
Alex did a 6-hour incredible show every Friday. That's not true at all.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm the one writing the book, so read it and weep.
Hamza did the Winnipeg Comedy Festival. That's something that you thought that did not happen.
Yeah, that would have been great if you'd done that.
Oh, I know.
How great would that have been?
I know. It would have been so great for my comedy career, but it's...
Yeah.
Most people are listening to that, like, who is this person?
Yeah, well, you know what? This is... You're here.
Yeah.
And this is a great show to be on.
It really is. On this Friday.
I'm drinking some kombucha. not in the studio, of course. I know we have strict rules against that. But, you know, kombucha is weird because the more you know about kombucha, the less you want to drink it. But it's because it's like this bizarre fantasy creation. It has like has mother in it, and it's a living thing, and you're drinking this potion. But man, is it good. It makes me feel so good.
Is it bad? I have no idea what kombucha is.
Yeah, you're looking at me.
Like, I've seen people drink it. I just have no concept of what it is.
Kombucha is a fermented tea. And, huh. Yeah. And if you're not careful, you'll drink a big chunk of the mother. Kombucha is a variety of fermented, lightly effervescent, sweetened black or green tea drinks that are commonly intended as functional beverages for their supposed health benefits. Kombucha is produced by fermenting tea using a symbiotic colony of bacteria. I've got a question about Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Can anybody edit Wikipedia articles?
Yes, you can.
So I could go in here right now and be like,
you could mess with it, totally.
Kombucha is a planet.
The in high school, I had a friend who, I think we had a bet. You know the movie Miracle? The one about the U.S.
hockey team.
Olympic hockey team? We had a bet that he thought that the team didn't go on to win gold. And I said that they did, and we had like a $20 bet on it.
I can see where this is going.
He goes into Wikipedia before I come over to his house, edits it, and then he shows me. He's like, no, see, right here. They didn't win. That's what Wikipedia says. Except it shows, I think Wikipedia shows the most recent edit or something like that. Like it shows how recently it was edited. I was like, this was edited today. It's like, what did you, you changed this, didn't you? And he's like, I did no such thing. I'm insulted you would even ask me that.
Oh, that's hilarious. That should be a bit. You should do that in your act.
Oh, who are you, my mom?
Miracle. Is that the one where he went, where they went, there, it had that epic call, right?
Yeah. Do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't. What was miracle? Yeah, what was the call that really?
Do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe in miracles? Really should have been more on top of that one.
It's I believe in miracles.
It's one of those moments, yeah. Oh, a great moment in sports commentary. I feel like being a sports commentator is easy. We're going to get some angry calls from the sports commentators.
I would love to be a wrestling commentator.
Oh, it's my dream job.
I'd rather be a wrestler, but I do not have the size nor the athletic ability.
You could be one of the big, like the Yokozuna.
Yeah, but I'm so short.
You'd have to be funny. Yeah. You'd have to be like a sidekick.
Well, the thing is, Yokozuna was also like 6 feet, like 500 pounds.
Yes.
And while I am fat, I'm not getting to 500 pounds anytime soon.
You could be an announcer.
I think I could do it.
Ethnic thing. And,
yeah. They definitely need, there's a lot of white people, so they definitely need.
Need versatility.
Yeah. I mean, there seems to be a real misrepresentation of brown people in media. There's none of us. I was thinking about this the other day because I saw the new X-Men. And the villain in Apocalypse
Oscar.
Is...
Oscar.
Yeah, it's Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Apocalypse is supposed to be like Egyptian.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac is Guatemalan.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, close enough.
Yeah, but like you don't... And I was talking to my dad about this because he saw the movie.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but I wish they had gotten like a, you know, like a Middle Eastern actor for it. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. Like, who would you have cast? And he was like, oh, that guy from Star Trek. You know, the guy who was in X-Men or in Iron Man. And I was like, you don't know his name, do you? No, it was like, you saw the first Iron Man, right? The guy who played the main terrorist in it.
Oh.
I don't know the actor's name at all.
Yeah, do not know.
Yeah, that is the most prominent Pakistani actor in the world right now.
Brutal. Who was that guy's name? Let's throw him some love here.
I don't know. He's great in everything he does, but I have no idea what his name is.
Iron Man. That's such a weird... Whenever there's like a lot of sequels to something, it's
you
weird
totally
to
forget.
It's weird to think about the first one. Like, I feel like Iron Man 1 isn't even like a real thing now.
Oh, but it's one of the best of all the Marvel movies.
Is it Sean Tobe?
No, I know that's
Farhan Tahir. That's got to be him.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm almost certain that's him. Yep.
Oh.
That's who my dad was championing.
All right, you know what? I'm going to learn this guy's name, and I'm going to start dropping, because that's a good name, and then I can feel really good about myself. You know, the ethnic people should be more...
maybe don't call them ethnic people.
Yeah, okay. Let's have another try. This is okay. This is okay. This is the trial run.
Before
the dinner party.
It's okay. You can say it. I'm here, so it's fine.
You know, there's such great actors as, I don't know, Ferran Tahir.
Ooh.
Be like, they'll be like, it's actually pronounced Farhan. I'll be like, oh. Okay.
You'll actually be talking to him.
Yeah.
You won't even know.
I mean, if I find out that I'm accidentally at a Tahir party, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with making that social faux pas. This guy is pretty cool. I like him. What else is he in?
He was in, I think he's in the Star Trek, the first one that just came out, or the first one out of the new ones.
They always have to cast him as bad guys, though. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah. No, you know what? I see he was in Elysium. I remember he was the president of Earth in Elysium, and then he was murdered by Jodie Foster.
The president of Earth.
Yeah. I'm not even making that up.
Stinky name from a stinky movie.
Yeah.
Elysium.
And Jodie Foster murders him with the worst South African accent you'll ever hear.
Ooh, that sounds bad. I don't like a... Ugh, man. I just... As I was clicking on this, I saw Aim for the Roses on here. Sorry to take a little...
What is Aim for the Roses?
Aim for the Roses is a documentary I saw at this year's Doxa Film Festival. And my girlfriend and I both agreed it was one of the worst films we'd ever seen. And it was awful because it was so hyped. And everyone gave it a big round of applause. And then we're going to have a Q&A with the director. And I wanted to stay be like, how did you make a movie this terrible?
Yeah.
But I didn't do it. I've got to play some of this music for you. This is a guy. Okay.
Is it from Aim for the Roses?
What is that?
The music that you want to play right now.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to hear it.
Okay,
so
Aim
bad.
For the Roses. Okay, let's see if I can describe. Okay, it's a... It's a director making a movie about... And I feel like I'm accidentally going to make this sound awesome. Do not get fooled. It is not awesome. A director making a movie about a musician who made an album, a double bass experimental album about a Canadian stunt driver. But you know what? I really feel like the music, if I just be like, it's a movie about this music and I show you some of the music, it'll explain a lot. So let me see if I can find that. And then we'll be. I know you're thinking, hey, maybe you should have this stuff ready before you start. You might even spoken word coordinator thinking, hey, I think we had a discussion about this recently where I specifically told you to. And you know what? You're right. You'd be right.
Let's pull back the curtain, Oz. Let's pull back the curtain.
You'd be right in both those cases. what else we got? Okay, this is the trailer. I think some of the music. Oh, do I hate this music? Oh, it's firing me up. Listen to this. Trailer for Aim for the Roses.
Oh, we got vinyl.
Of course it has to be vinyl.
It sounds better on vinyl than it does on iTunes.
I'm looking for the ultimate statement. Ken Carter.
World's greatest daredevil. Really, that's what it's about.
Did you have any childhood heroes? Did you ever want to be a daredevil? Did you watch superheroes and long to be that guy that flies? Well, here we have Ken Carter. And here we have Mark Haney, who remembers what it was like to be that 9-year-old kid full of wonder. He's the only person who could possibly have come
Ken
up with
Ken Carter's a real Canadian name.
Yeah.
The thing about Aim for the Roses is it strikes the perfect balance between utterly amazing.
Okay, so the great thing about this documentary, and by great I mean highly pretentious and annoying, is that one of the people they interview is a music writer for the Georgia Strait. And they keep cutting away to this dude waxing poetic about the vinyl. It's amazing. It's not a documentary when it's just a guy talking about how great the great thing about this song is that, you know, when the guitar comes in, it really adds a texture. He's a hero. He's a great it's a great album. Experimental. Did I mention it's a great album? It's just shut up. It's not great.
And completely ridiculous.
Saturday,
Seems like you are really admonishing his take on music.
Just off Highway 6.
What are you watching?
Ramp to ramp. World record.
And they...
Can I say that this looks like if Wes Anderson tried to make a documentary?
Yes. If Wes Anderson had directed this as a mockumentary,
yeah,
it would be the greatest movie
Who's that? Ken Carter? Is that supposed to be who the guy is?
But there is no awareness of
that is a Ben Stiller character. That is 100%
yes.
A Ben Stiller character.
And this is okay. They use the lyrics for the songs are from like news stories about Ken Carter's story. So, but they don't fit the syllables of the music. So, or the rhythm of the music. So mm-hmm. You'll have Ken Carter Speedway just off Highway 6. And you're trying to shoehorn
yeah.
every word in and like, you know, but it's art because no, it's not. It's, and it took us. And then, the worst part.
You have to look at the lyricism of it all.
It took us 9 years. This album was supposed to be done in 2 weeks. It actually took 9 years of work. That's just because you're lazy.
When you look below the surface level, you'll see that it really is an admonishment of.
Okay, stop trying to make that happen.
It's going to work. By the end of the show, people are going to know.
1974 Chevrolet.
1974. Please don't watch anymore.
This is
this
awful.
Movie's a bore.
Plays worth over 50 grand. Plus all the
that's Adrian Brody.
Racing.
That's for sure Adrian Brody.
Yeah, I mean it's supposed to be super meta and profound because it's like an album about a daredevil and then a movie about an album. If somebody makes another movie making fun of how much this sucks,
can we do it?
That guy is amazing.
I want to make this movie.
If we get into the trees, it could be disastrous. So we gotta aim for the roses.
Oh, man.
Ugh. I'm just looking at the little tagline here.
Yeah.
That is an awful tagline.
What tagline?
The one right here at the end of the at the end of the trailer, just telling you what the movie's about.
In this thing?
Yeah, right here that we're looking at.
In 1976.
No. I'm looking. I mean, like in the actual trailer, a film.
Oh, yeah.
By John Bolton about an album by Mark Haney about a stunt by Ken Carter.
Yeah, it's meta.
Ugh.
It's a tri-meta.
That is the worst thing I have read today.
Oh,
so.
just dislike it. What I'm trying to say. Anyway, I've told you how I really feel, and it's looking like it's going to be a good day in Vancouver, which is nice. It rained a little bit. I'm at a bit of a quandary about where to put my bike. And I like how I'm making fun of people for bad art, and then I'm just going to talk about my bike for a bit. Making radio. No, but I mean, I'm at this weird, like, I can't afford a car, so I have a bike. But there's nowhere to put my bike, so I'm kind of like, I kind of need a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I was.
So you could put your bike on the car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I feel like I'm not getting this right now.
I like how I'm just on Van City Buzz looking at local mm-hmm. stuff. 10 Vancouver comedy events to check out in June. Number one, Marlon Wayans. This is okay.
Is it just a showing of Scary Movie 2? Because I'll go to that.
Yeah, I think I can get free tickets to this. But check it out. Number two. Look, I made the cut.
Hey.
I'm on the show.
You're on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's plug the show.
Jumping
you're on.
From hate to wait. I'm there. Alex Biron on Tinder Tales on Saturday. Professional comedians, storytellers, and everyday people share their most outrageous Tinder Tales and online dating stories live on stage. You know what? Maybe I'll give you guys a little taste right now.
Ooh.
You want to hear about what I'm going to go into?
Oh, I'm so ready for this. Let's hear it.
Okay, we will get right into that right after the break.
Oh.
You like that little teaser?
What a great one.
All right.
Do you like sports? Are you looking for a way to give back to your community? Right to Play is an international organization that empowers kids through sports.
Here at UBC, our volunteers work to provide equal opportunity for sport to children in the Vancouver area.
We raise money to support Right to Play's global initiatives because we believe that
when children play, the world wins.
Check us out on our Facebook page and get involved today so that kids can be kids.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
All right, you're back with me and Hamza here, 101.9, and boy, are we having a great time.
Just the best.
I was talking about Tinder Tales, a show I'm on Saturday. Professional comedians sharing their most outrageous Tinder stories and online dating experiences. Well, I'm going to be talking about two things that happened to me. First of all, basically, Tinder is all about control. Mm-hmm. That is the theory that I have. Where you've got, it's scary, right?
Yeah.
Dating, love, it's unpredictable. That's why people want, they want a way where they can be, okay, show me the face, yes, no. That's what it's all about, mm-hmm. is trying to put the power back in your hands, literally. So, and I've used Tinder at two different points, and both failed massively at having any control. So I feel like we're losing the fight. Mm-hmm. We can't. This is my theory: is that we cannot control that. It should be a rule.
Yeah,
you cannot control love, and it'll sound a lot less corny when I do it on Saturday. We're working things out on air. No, but
you cannot control love.
Ooh, but the
what a tag.
Yeah, but the we will axe that from the set. the first time was when I was manic because I have bipolar disorder. So okay, every once in a while, I get a little manic, and I was I signed up for Tinder, and the great thing about Tinder is that, like, if these women were meeting me in real life, they would be able to tell, oh, there's something wrong with this guy. He's mm-hmm. a little off. No, yeah. I will not go on a date with him. But through the power of the internet, you know, I can put a nice picture, mm-hmm. put a little bio, I can get my dates.
Yeah,
and then they meet me, and we go on a couple of dates, and I start when I get manic, I fall in love mm-hmm. very, very quickly. I become okay. corny. I'm manic today. That's why I said that thing earlier. So I'm not manic, but so I start falling in love with these women very quickly, mm-hmm. and I developed this weird pattern. Maybe I'm a little OCD too. No, I don't know. This weird pattern where I fall in love, I find out what their favorite animal is on the third date because for some reason I feel like that this is the key.
Yeah.
If I can just, it's all about animals, and then. As soon as they tell me what it is, I go and buy them a stuffed animal.
See, that's kind of adorable.
It is adorable, but maybe on like seventh date, not third date.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair. Maybe a little bit jump in the gun a little bit there.
Jump in the gun. So I go to I keep going to the same store.
Yeah.
I'm going to yeah. I'm going to there's this great store in Granville Island where you can get, they've got like every animal.
Yeah.
So I'm going in, I'm like, yes, give me the first one. Her she loved Alaskan Huskies. Mm-hmm. So I got an Alaskan Husky, give it to her. She rejects me. You're coming on too strong. But yeah. But the weird thing is she takes the stuffed animal because it's her favorite animal. She rejects me, but she takes the.
You think that'd just be like a reminder of you then to her?
No, I think I'm. She can move on pretty quick. And then I remember I was so heartbroken over Husky. Mm-hmm. I went and saw a therapist.
Yeah.
I came out of the therapist. I went into a cafe next door.
Yeah.
Fell in love with a barista working at the cafe.
See, I was really hoping that you went and bought your therapist an Alaskan Husky as well.
I write that in. Yeah. All right. What's your favorite animal? I fell in love with her. I wrote her a poem. Yeah. I wrote, and I leave it on the table, and I wrote my email on the poem. Mm-hmm. And then I left, and she didn't email me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, clearly there's been some sort of mistake. So I went to the cafe. And she was like, oh, it blew out of my pocket. But she actually, which is probably light, but she actually, maybe she was just like, I appreciate this guy's persistence.
Yeah.
He is bold. So she went on a date with me.
Yeah.
We hooked up, fell in love, mm-hmm. found out her favorite animal was an English bulldog. So you can see where this is going. Yeah. It's just a pattern of fall in love, buy animal, mm-hmm. get rejected, they take animal. And I keep doing this, and eventually the store cuts me off. They're like, this is ridiculous.
We can't keep enabling you.
Yeah, we're cleaning you out. It's like when the casino comes.
Yeah.
And it is like, this is not, like, it's been fun.
Yeah.
But you got to take a break. They sent in the cooler. That's
You're counting cards on a stuffed animal level.
I don't know if that quite worked, but.
I don't know. I don't know.
So, I don't know
a lot about casinos. So
I got into a relationship, and that was like a longer, I got into a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
That lasted about 3 years, but then I realized, hey, now I'm healthy,
mm-hmm.
I'm sane. I could really do some damage on Tinder, so I learned my lesson. I'm gonna play it safe. I'm not gonna get attached at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna talk. I'm just gonna crush it for like 10 years.
Yeah,
non commitment. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go on Tinder, and one of the first girls I start talking to, I'm like, she talks about Rambo. I make a Rambo joke. Mm. We start talking. I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I don't care at all.
Really
talk for
off,
like seven
yeah.
hours. I fall in love. We've been dating for 7 months. So it's, yeah, I can't figure it out. Can't figure it out. I'm at the mercy of the universe. So, yeah,
what
come here.
What is her favorite stuffed animal?
I haven't. That's.
You haven't asked?
Technically, that's the ending. That's how this ends. Yeah.
Come on. That's
so true.
You leave me suspenseful.
See, I'm, yeah.
I really want to know this now.
All right, call in. Madeline, if you're out there.
Please.
We want
to
know.
I need to know this.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have fun, cute stories and $8, Emerald Supper Club. Have you ever been to the Emerald Supper Club?
I have not. I don't actually even know where that is.
What is that? I feel like.
No idea. I hear about these venues every now and again for shows. I'm like, I have no idea where this is.
Yeah. Well, you're not very established comedian.
No, that's true.
We got the Matterhorn Improv with Sophie Buttle and Chris and Travis. We've got Instant Theater's House Party. Deanna Smith. I'm just saying names. I'm not actually saying where they are. Or trying to find. Well, this is all improv. This is.
Have you not noticed improv gets plugged a lot?
Yeah.
In
yeah. Why do people love improv so much? I mean, it's fine.
Because there's more of an, like, it's a much more casual atmosphere than a stand-up show.
It's a lot friendlier.
Yeah, that's true. You've never seen an improv comic not get a laugh and then turn on the audience.
That is so true.
You never seen, they just try harder. They're
yeah.
like, okay, next joke.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I'm an old grandma.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, stand-up comics.
Oh, I'm a grandma in space. What, you don't like this? But they stay
no,
in character.
Stand-up comics instantly like yeah. just jump on the audience like, oh, this worked better last time.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love the blame the audience.
Yeah,
I love a good.
Oh, that's the worst thing. But you see it so often with stand-ups where yeah. they're just like, this joke worked better last time. Oh, you guys yeah. don't want to laugh.
Sometimes I do it kind of as a joke. Like, yeah. that one deserved more. But I know I'm just an idiot.
Yeah.
Like at the competition last night, I was like, oh, you're holding back your laughs for your friends. I get it. That's fine. But, you know, to really blame the audience is like, it's a little silly.
Yeah.
Because there's always, my theory, there's always something that you could say to make yeah. them laugh. Like if you had this magic ball that would be like, say this. There's always something that would.
Well, because the whole thing is that jokes have to be relatable to the audience, right? If they're not laughing, they're not relating to whatever you're saying.
Right.
So you have to find the relatability in it.
True. I'm learning a lot from you. What is Marlon Wayans?
Okay. I don't know. What?
Writer, director, comedian, and all-around entertainer. Marlon Wayans comes to the Vogue Theater on Saturday, June 4th, touring the United States with one night in Vancouver on his Scandal-less tour. I hate the name.
Is he?
I'm going to say right away, that's a bad start.
Is it, do we just watch episodes of Scandal? Oh, Scandal-less. I'm sorry.
Scandal-less.
We don't. No Scandal.
I do actually work for the Vogue, though, so I should probably do a better job of promoting this.
Hey, Marlon Wayans is coming. He's
yeah,
he
let's try that again.
Requiem for a Dream. Great film.
You guys remember? Yeah, what an incredible turn that
yeah.
was. And
Scary Movie 2, hilarious.
One of my favorite movies. I'm convincing myself. This is yeah. pretty, yeah. Writer, director, comedian. What has he directed? Probably something great. He's Marlon Wayans.
Yeah.
Touring the United States with One Night in Vancouver. Wayans has appeared on. He's touring the United States, and he chose Vancouver for his one show. That's amazing. Wayans has appeared on In Living Color. Remember that with Jim Carrey? That was great.
Oh, In Living Color was great.
Scary Movie franchise, and most recently, 50 Shades of Black. Is that a parody of I've Got to Know now what that is?
It's a parody of 50 Shades of Grey.
Trailer. I want that. I want that trailer in my ears.
I don't want it.
It's going to be horrible.
I hate this.
I mean, great.
But Marlon Wayans, he's a phenomenal talent.
There's a 50 Shades of Black trailer, too.
Ooh.
Is that for the second one, or is it the second trailer?
I think it's the second trailer of the first movie.
That's unfortunate. All right, well, let's check this out. Content warning. Oh, it's the Red Band trailer.
You're playing the Red Band trailer.
Turn off your radios if you can't handle...
Swearing and boobs.
Yeah. Well, you can't see the boobs, so...
Yeah.
So you should be all right.
I'm here to see Mr. Black. It's for the paper.
Hannah?
Christian.
I hate this already so much.
Ah, I want a gag. Her face got crushed by an elevator.
Give me a smile. Don't ever fucking smile again.
Okay. Too much swearing in this.
Instantly. Right. First one is an F-bomb.
Yeah. Right out the gate. That looks not very good.
No, it looks... Yeah. I'm pretty sure it came out way earlier this year.
Yeah.
February or something.
It came out last year.
Did it?
Yeah. Or the trailer was. Well, you know who's in a lot of movies? Kevin Hart.
He's in everything.
When did they decide? And I feel like it's...
Well, it's the cycle, right? Of like, somebody gets super popular, so you put him in everything.
Right. And then it's oversaturated. Well, and no
him and The Rock.
Yeah.
Him and The Rock.
And they're in a movie together.
Yeah.
Central Intelligence.
I kind of want to see it because I enjoy The Rock a lot.
He's pretty awesome.
He's pretty great at everything he does.
He is a man's man. I wish I could have his manliness. Don't you?
I wish I could have his jawline. He's got a very defined jawline.
It is. It goes all the way up to the back of his... Yeah. Like, it doesn't... It never actually...
He doesn't have a neck. It just has shoulders to his chin.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. His chin doesn't actually... Like, most chins, they start to join the neck fat.
No. There's no fat on that man.
But there... It doesn't... No.
What are we still watching? This is ridiculous.
This is insane. They got
Magic Mike.
They're
parody.
Working in some Magic Mike. Oh, they've got fat women because that's
somebody's The Weeknd.
You can't have a black culture comedy without.
Do you
black
think that? Did you
fat
think that
women?
That
what,
fat
that?
Woman was Tyler Perry?
No, he's. Are you joking me? Tyler Perry's not going in that.
I don't know. Have you seen the Madea movies?
Yeah,
I
but
so
he doesn't
know.
the paycheck the pay cut that he would have to take
That's
to work
true.
On that.
That's
that
true.
Man is made of money.
That is true.
And very handsome too. Have you seen him when
yeah,
he's
I saw,
not
I saw Gone Girl.
Gone Girl, great actor in Gone Girl.
He's pretty good in Gone Girl.
Great performance. I wanted to hate him, but impossible.
Yeah. It's very charming when he's not
he's working for it. I want to see him
drag.
Are there any other like Tyler Perry movies where he's like that?
What, just like a straightforward actor?
Yeah.
He was in like Star Trek for like two scenes. Coming back to Star Trek again.
Yeah, everything ends with Star Trek.
He's in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right. not even Tyler Perry.
No, Tyler Perry
saved that movie.
No, nothing saving that movie.
Oh god, I don't
why do
like
all
it.
Of the Ninja Turtles look like Shrek?
Because Shrek's popular.
They all look
they probably
like
modeled
Shrek.
It after. Hey, fun fact, did you know they modeled Yoda after Albert Einstein and a pug? He's a cross between Einstein and a pug.
I mean, thinking about it now, that makes a lot of sense.
But green, yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense why he has all the wispy hair all of a sudden.
Touché.
Why did, like, it was...
wispy hair, yeah?
Yeah, I don't... I like Star Wars, but I don't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoy the
all
movies.
All right, here we go.
I enjoy the movies. The movies are great. I have no concept of what makes Star Wars, like, what builds the fandom. And maybe that's just my own ignorance to the thing, because I have things I'm fandom of, like a fanboy about. But like,
what's your favorite movie in Bruges?
No, that was my favorite comedy.
Comedy.
Yeah,
that's not really. I mean,
it's
kind
a dark
of
comedy.
A comedy. It
it's
a dark
comedy.
Comedy. I feel like you've got to have a favorite. Like, if someone says Dumb and Dumber is the best comedy, you've got to have a favorite straight comedy. You can't, and then there'd be favorite. You know.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Favorite comedy.
Because you could use In Bruges as your favorite drama, too.
Yeah.
But I feel like it doesn't go the same way. You can't really use that as a comedy. You could. But
I mean, I still think it has a lot of moments that gave me like belly laughs, which are like anytime a movie does that consistently.
Great movie. Really liked In Bruges.
I don't know. Like maybe favorite comedy of all time might actually be Dumb and Dumber then.
I think it is my favorite comedy.
That movie is consistently funny.
I love – did you know that John Hughes ghost wrote
Ghost
Dumb
wrote
and Dumber?
It.
Yeah.
Huh.
They bought the script from him and he wanted his name off of it.
I mean, that would make sense, right?
That's why it's so good. The second one's
although I
wretched.
Do, if we're talking Jim Carrey movies, I do have like just a real affinity for The Mask.
Weird.
As a kid, it would play on TBS a lot.
Yeah.
And I just really was into it. Because it was just over the top and ridiculous.
All right. Fair enough.
Were you not a fan of The Mask?
I don't think so. No.
No?
Don't remember loving that movie.
I remember it just cracking me up just because he was... Like, it's a really dumb movie, looking back at it now.
Yeah, it is.
It is dumber than Dumb and Dumber, but like... I don't know. I always got a kick out of it. It was always just like... Him putting on the mask was one of the funniest things. Or Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Either the Ace Venturas... Like, Jim Carrey just is an influence on my childhood.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, now he's gotten a bit crazy, but...
Well, we're going to take a musical break. We're going to use the bathroom and freshen up for you. And then I'm going to come back and keep doing this until they kick me out. I don't know. Maybe they're kicking me out now. We'll see. We do this every Friday, 10 a.m. Vancouver, right? It's a hangout. We talk about everything and have, you know, awesome guests. Last week, we had a great... Colin, Mark Normand.
Yeah.
Opening for Amy Schumer, calling into this show. What an honor to talk to that guy. It was great. And more great things on the horizon. So make
if
sure.
If we are getting kicked out, can I plug something?
Yeah, why don't you plug? Absolutely. How rude of me.
It's okay.
Plug away, and then we'll take a break.
I mean, currently no stand-up shows on the horizon, but I'm around town. I have a couple podcasts I'm a part of, if you want to listen to those.
Let's hear them.
I have one called the Public Nerdity Podcast, which is with a group of friends that I've had since high school. We talk about movies, games, whatever, just nerdy stuff. We joke around, really shoot the breeze. And I have one that I'm currently starting with fellow Vancouver comedian Pam Choi.
Oh, is this the bomb podcast?
Yeah, it's called Killing the Room.
All right.
And we take like just local comedians.
There's no one more qualified to start a podcast about bad sets than Pam Choi.
Oh. Oh, I will pass that message along to her. And
she's heard it.
Angry.
I've told it to her face.
Yeah, it's just a podcast about
just a joke, Pam. Love.
We try to get like just comedians to talk about what their influences are in comedy, where they started, all that type of stuff, and then talk about your worst sets, jokes that just didn't work. Explain it to us, and we just kind of reminisce.
I can't wait to be on that podcast and talk about my old folks' home gig.
Oh, I remember this. I remember you wanted people to come on and do something with you.
Where
right?
I ate a bag of. You know what? It was awful. Oh, my goodness. All right. We're going to take a break. Thanks for tuning in.
In California, where the redwoods grow, tall enough to block the sun's bright glow, there's a place for the rich and powerful, where they can get
just so happened I had with me about 100 tabs of LSD.
All right, you're back with Vancouverite. We're doing bonus time for the bonus show. I love it. Every Friday at 10 a.m., and sometimes they let us go longer, and it's a wonderful experience. Yeah, we covered a lot of ground. We covered comedy competitions, Tinder, Justin Trudeau, China, communism. We chimed in with a serious lack of professionalism on all those things. Are you in the Yuck Off this year? Are you doing that competition?
No, I'm going to go visit my folks in July.
Putting family before comedy. Big mistake.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go do that, so couldn't figure out scheduling with the Yuck Off and everything.
What are you, a good person? Ugh.
Well, debatable.
Yeah.
Probably not, but I haven't seen my folks in like a while. So.
Where do they live?
Qatar.
They live in Qatar?
Yes.
That sounds like a place that isn't real. I love that. I wish I could tell people my folks are from Qatar. Let me guess where that is.
Okay.
Let me guess where Qatar is.
Go for it.
Qatar is in Tom Lee Music Store.
You know what? I would laugh, but Brad Dorian made that joke at me already.
No, I'm a hack. Well, I was kind of making a hack joke on purpose. At least let's go with that.
When I flew out there last time, he told me I was doing a Qatar solo.
That's good.
Yeah, I know.
I like that.
Like, damn, I wish I'd came up with that. I'm going to go visit them. It's right beside Dubai, for anybody who doesn't know.
You should do some charity work there.
I'd rather not.
Be a Qatar hero.
Shut up. I will walk out of this show right now. Qatar hero.
The energy in here is great. An electric guitar. That one didn't work.
No, it didn't. It didn't. You're pushing it.
So where is it?
It's like right beside Dubai.
Right beside Dubai. Oh, you're going to go to Dubai?
We went to Dubai last year.
All right.
And it was fun. We went to a water park there that has the fastest water slide.
All right. Now you're talking my language.
And it is terrifying.
I love a water slide.
So it's like...
How fast are we talking?
I don't remember exactly.
Because I went on a pretty fast one, and I wonder if it was just nothing compared to this.
Okay, so they have two different parks. I don't remember the one we went to. It might have been called Atlantis or something like that.
Okay.
One of the water slides at one of the parks, the one that we didn't do, basically you stand in a pod, you cross your arms and legs, and then they just drop you. Like you stand vertically, and then they drop you, and then you go down the slide.
Are you in a tube?
Yes, you stand in a tube.
Oh, you're in a tube.
But the bottom opens up, and they drop you out of it.
And then it starts to...
Yeah, and then you literally...
How far do you go before?
I was talking to my cousin who did it.
That's amazing!
And he said that there's a solid couple of seconds, like probably like a second, but it feels like forever, where you're not touching the slide. And he's like, it's the most terrifying thing because they tell you, like, do not uncross your arms and legs because you will break something if you hit the slide uncrossed.
Oh.
Yeah. The one we went on, what it does is you have to sit down and, like, propel yourself and then instantly cross your arms and legs.
This is breaking every safety regulation that we would have.
Well, the thing is, like, it goes so fast you can't even open your eyes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, it shoots you down. And when you hit the water at the bottom, you're going so fast that you skip the first bounce on the water and then you torpedo into it.
Does that hurt?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It hurts a lot.
Have you seen that video of the kid after surgery who is so knocked up on drugs that he develops an accent and starts talking in this like gangster and he's talking about Dubai?
I have not.
It's great. You want to check it out?
Oh, I do.
We're in the bonus time, so we're going to bonus videos. Yeah, this is unbelievable.
Why you tell me Schley? Because
it's sick people. Content warning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why are you talking like
this
with this
weird accent? Did you pick... This, by the way, this is a 9-year-old
This
ginger.
Is Ron Weasley, what
ginger.
It looks like.
Yeah, this is...
This 100% looks like Rupert Grint.
But if you just hear the audio, it's not like he's doing a character... He's become another person. You got to hear this accent.
This is Daniel Day-Lewis worthy.
Yeah.
Because Dubai people were all up in my grill and my boy Rocco got out and knocked them out cold, man. Rocco my boy, you know?
I need to put a beat under this. Excuse me while
Rocco,
I...
Rocco my boy.
You know Rocco over in Dubai?
Over in Dubai.
Rocco was like, yo, bro. And I was like, yo, Rocco, who sock him? And Rocco was like, and I was like, yo, Rocco, you kicked that ass, man.
Did you fit the camel in the Camaro, too?
Oh, the camel? Me and my camel, on like the weekend, we were going round and round and round, and we were killing people, man.
All right.
Sorry.
Why are you talking to me?
Don't tell my lawyer we kill people, man. We would have a nun, I'm fucking joking, man.
Are you ready to play baseball?
No, I broke my
eye! No more yelling.
Oh, yelling? You like yelling, woman? Why no more? Out of my mind.
You know what this sounds like?
Well, I'm sorry, I can't even think
straight
right now.
This sounds like an
Eazy-E
intro to it in NWA. Yeah,
yeah!
I'm gonna woo-wee, woo! What? What?
Oh, sorry.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds like Terrence Howard.
I bought a camel, man. Me and my camel were like going through the wicky west, man. We were going so far. We were walking all over Dubai, man. We bought like 14 times. I would roll around my camel and my hot ass wife and my kids, yo. Why you laughing? Why you laughing, man? I'm sorry. sorry. Dubai was lit. Yo, bro, Dubai was lit. I was like,
did you buy anything else in Dubai?
Did I buy anything else? I bought like billions of strippers, man.
Random.
What?
No strippers.
No many strippers, bro. No strippers. What are you talking about, freaky woman?
How did you?
What are you laughing at, me?
All right.
Who are you?
What are you laughing at over there? Why are you laughing, man? Why are you laughing?
This is a long
What's
video.
Going on? I just got so lit in Dubai, man.
We were on this water slide going vertical, man. My boy, Rocco. You go get that, Rocco.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How have I never seen this video before?
Yeah, I'm a big connoisseur of the after dentist videos. This one's good, but it's still not my favorite video. Have you seen Jack After Dentist?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Jack After Dentist is the best.
That guy is my hero. Oh, is he brilliant? Let's hear a couple classic moments from Jack. Oh, I love him. I like this guy. I just wish I could hang out with this guy. Like, if he could be in this state forever, I would just. Oh, I love him. He's beautiful.
What the hell?
John, no.
What is that?
It's the river.
What the hell is the river?
Water.
Oh my God. We're in the water right now?
No, we're over the water.
We're walking on water, Dad?
Walk on water.
Uncle Bucks. They walk in water on there. They got a little fish tank and the fishies. Why can't we swim with the fishies, Dad? We can win with you past it, Mom.
Honey, we have to take you home.
Home?
Uh-huh.
I am home. I am home.
Not
yet. I got home inside my heart, Mom.
Love that guy.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh, he's great.
Home inside my heart, Mom.
Home inside my heart, Mom. My favorite two parts from this are there's there's one where he goes, I want to get Subway, Mom. He goes, not today. And he goes, I happen to get Subway every day. And then the other part when he goes, Dad, when you're at home and you're sitting in your Papa Bear chair. Oh, he's an improviser. This guy's amazing.
Oh, you know he's never going to turn on the crowd.
Yeah. Did you? Do you have a girlfriend?
I do not. I'm currently single.
Single, putting in work.
Yeah.
Putting up those numbers.
Yeah, no, I relate to your Tinder stories. Not in the sense that I fall in love, but I have real bad experiences on Tinder.
Really? It seems like it'll be better than it is. I always feel like I'm going to make it work next time. If there was a next time, maybe I'll figure it out next time.
I had a girl match with me who assumed that I had a lot of money because I dress fairly well.
You look rich. I will say that. Here's the deal with you. You look like, I mean, you're not dressed rich. You look like the kind of guy that can afford to wear that. You know, like, I don't care. I've got this company. Yeah. I'm going to wear all this soft stuff. You look like a spice merchant.
Sounds about right. Kyle Bottom suggests that I am a falafel shop owner.
Oh, that's good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really.
A falafel chain.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason he talks to me. Is because I think he's developed this fantasy that that's what I do own.
He was talking to someone last night who had gotten some feedback from him, and his feedback was, you're not convincing as a straight woman.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you gotta easy with the.
No, I think he does it in jest. I don't think he actually.
Sure.
Well, he might. I don't know. I can never read that guy.
Yeah, he told me I was banned from the mix last time I talked. So I hope he was talking about that too.
He told me I was going to book it this month, last month, and then never responded to me.
So. All right, let's not.
No. I love Kyle. I'll put that out there.
Yeah,
no,
me too.
I am in love with Kyle.
I want to marry him.
Yeah. He's get doing, on Tinder, Kyle. I will swipe right.
He's doing Just for Laughs.
He is.
Again. So congrats, Kyle.
Yeah, congrats.
Local comics. Putting in work. Famous.
No, yeah. I matched with a girl recently, and she pretty much told me that she swiped right because she thought that I had a lot of money. And she was like, I want you to spoil me. And I was like, I don't, my parents have money, sure.
And she thought that was probably good. She was probably like, okay, his parents are very rich.
I don't have that money.
We're going to Dubai, man.
You want to go on the fastest water slide in the world?
Do you have rich parents in the Middle East?
Not rich, but we do fine. Like, we're, you know.
All right.
We're doing all right. My dad is an architect, so that helps.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no poor architects.
No.
I feel like as soon as you become one, they go, okay, here's your first million. Well, like, have fun creating more.
Like, it's not like he works for, like, an oil company out there, you know, where he'd just be rolling in it.
Oh,
like,
great.
just like, because he pays for my school, thankfully.
You guys probably have some really rich friends.
Yeah, he does. He has...
clients.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, he has to drive, like, a nice car in the whole deal because he'll, like, take clients to sites and stuff like that.
Right.
And, like...
What kind of car does he drive?
He drives a 7 Series BMW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. But yeah, he has to drive nice cars because otherwise his company's like, oh, you got to take the clients. You can't make it look like we don't pay you enough.
He shows up in a Toyota Tercel.
Yeah. Oh, man. I have Toyota Tercels back in the day. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the 7 Series is real happy with that car. It's like the luxury version of a BMW. Although he's not the biggest fan of it.
The all-new BMW 7 Series.
All you need to know.
It's a rich-looking car. That's a car that you rob banks in or own banks in.
Here's the thing. You rob banks in a 5 Series because the 5 Series is a sports car.
Okay.
And that's the one he used to have.
When he was a bank robber.
Yes. When he robbed banks, that was, and that's how he made his fortune.
Well, don't tell me. Let's let this guy.
Of BMW. It embodies everything BMW stands for and features a great deal of innovations you've never seen before.
What I'm saying is, she'll give it up on the first date. If your penis is below 4 inches.
Now, you might be thinking of some kind of Special Agent Hollywood movie, but this is BMW technology available today. The all-new BMW 7.
All he was doing in that shot was...
He was just looking at the car back at
him. It wasn't that. Well, this car can go in reverse? What is this, some new
nice
age?
Nice and slow.
Yeah.
These can automatically pull in and out of your garage.
Okay, that's
classy.
Wait,
is it doing it driverless?
Yeah. Oh, I spoke too soon. Excuse
My
me.
My dad's car doesn't even do this. So
this is like the 7 Elite Series. Can you imagine, a girl sleeps over, you wake up the next morning, hey, we should go for a walk. Oh, I'm kind of tired. Let's drive. No problem. Ding. It backs out on its own. Oh. Oh my god, that's cute.
When I was over there last time visiting, BMW sent him an email saying like, come to our test track and try out the new 6 Series, which is like their ultra sports car. Mm. And it was just like, for no real reason, they're just like, yeah, come drive it. Drive it around our track. Have fun.
That's beautiful. Did he do it?
Oh yeah, me, him, and my brother went. I didn't get to drive it because I don't have a license in Qatar.
Oh.
So legally, if I had crashed the car, we would have had to pay for the car.
Yeah.
And so, no thank you.
And a narrow parking space. All you need to do is press this button on the display key. Oh, now, a number of sensors ensure that your BMW 7 Series can securely pull in and out of the parking space by automatically supervising braking, acceleration, and steering. Once settled in, there's no need to sit inside the car. The engine turns off automatically. Starting and killing the engine is, of course, done remotely with the display key.
Do you think this is BMW?
Being this is
like,
how luxury should look like.
Get out of here, Ford Focus, with your parallel parking.
Yeah.
We can park the car in your garage without you needing to.
Yes. Pressing this button will remotely detonate all. Less expensive cars.
High quality materials, craftsmanship, beautifully designed, you immediately feel comfortable. Now, BMW designed it as a place of comfort and well-being.
No kidding. It looks like an airplane. There's TVs in there.
Yeah, my dad's isn't as nice as this one here. But, like, if you sit in the back seat, like, the leg space you get in the back seat of his car is better than any car I've ever sat in. Like, I can fully stretch my legs out and not – be touching like the driver's
seat.
Oh
my god, how is that possible? It's not a huge car, is it?
It's fairly big.
Oh, it's a big car?
Yeah. I think my dad got like the luxury one, which is a little bigger.
Cool.
Yeah.
But it will also set the pace when it comes to innovations. Now, just sitting here in the driver's seat lets you realize the car's driving qualities will be outstanding, both in comfort and dynamics.
Just because it looks so awesome.
The thing about this commercial is that it's trying to sell you on the car, yeah. Right? I feel like if you're thinking about buying a BMW 7 Series, you could probably just afford to do it without looking at all of this stuff. You probably know. You're probably not really like trying to be sold on that car. Maybe compared to like a Mercedes, right? But like,
I feel like this is for people that already know they're going to buy it and they're like, I want to.
I
want
to be able to tell my I want to tell my friends about every feature my car has.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, they're advertising to me. I'm going to be able to afford this car one day.
Very impressive is also the way to interact.
I made $100 in loonies last night.
Ooh.
They give you your cash prize for one hitter in a bag of loonies.
Didn't they used to do it in the cup? They used to do it in the cup before.
Yeah, I got a sword. Ooh. The scimitar of comedy destruction.
I saw that sword. I have the exact same sword at my house.
And but is it one that you won at a comedy competition?
No, it is one that somebody who came over to a party at my house drunkenly left there.
It is a very drunk sword. When you were holding that, it's like a foam cowboy hat. Yeah, everyone thinks
you can hit people with it and it doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, that's the joy of it.
Oh,
yes.
It's so good.
All right.
All new BMW 7 Series. A never seen before feature. You can operate the system via simple hand gesture.
What?
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 This is the Minority Report. This is Minority Report, 100%. Move your hands like a wizard would.
Yeah. You shall not drive.
You're Magneto. You're just doing the hand motions.
Oh, my God. That is awesome. Can you? Oh, excuse me while I just drive my car with my hands.
Yeah.
Like
just,
a magician.
Oh, I'm just going to drive and then, I need to check GPS. Hand wave.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's a rich person motion.
Please allow me to undo your bra because I don't need to touch this steering wheel.
Yeah, well, that's a rich person motion, just like the hand wave and like, tell me where I'm going. Yeah.
It's like the queen's wave. faster.
So you can keep your eyes on the road. There are four predefined gestures and an additional fifth one for...
It'd be great if one of them was like the road rage gesture. Like,
you flip them off.
Customize.
I feel like this is dangerous, but...
I would just try to experiment with the hand motions.
Yeah.
You know, like try to really master it.
It's like WarioWare. Did you ever play that game?
I did.
Wii? Oh, is that fun?
Or decline it. Raise the volume or lower it.
Yeah, this is like some Harry Potter level stuff.
Yes.
What's going on?
Wingardio Leviosa?
I legitimately want to buy a wand and do these hand motions.
Oh, they should have made... Even if you can do it with your hand, they should have made a wand.
Yeah.
Customized gestures. Awesome. So no more pushing buttons from now on.
Thank God.
Alternatively, you
hate
can
that.
Use the new
like a peasant screen. Would.
You can zoom in on your map, for example.
This car probably costs at least $10,000.
I'm actually curious about this one because this is like fully loaded.
Well, this is the commercial car. I mean, this is like there's probably two of these.
This is like the luxury, like high end one.
Yeah.
By right, this is probably number. Like.
And you can
even
talk to the car. The intelligent voice command.
Oh, you can talk to the car. Here we go. Now we're getting to the Iron Man stuff.
Even recognizes everyday phrasing.
Sup?
Show me the next gas station on my way. There have never been so many options to operate the car.
So this is Knight Rider.
The BMW 7 Series comes with the next generation head-up display, increased in size by
75%,
and with new
graphics.
That's
cool.
This
car is awesome. Level of comfort,
this has been like 20 minutes of us harping on this car, but
this ad works.
No more cables necessary.
I really want.
We are a third into this ad.
How long have we been watching this?
Too long.
The executive.
See, I feel like this car is just going
to
depress
us. Perfect place to work and to.
I like how Nardwar does in-depth, researched interviews with stars.
Yeah,
and we're.
We're watching a car commercial.
And we're not even roasting it. We're like, that is awesome.
Yeah, well, because we were trying to, and then it got real cool.
Yeah.
If you still have some work to do, just use the integrated table and enjoy the silence of the car. Another new and innovative feature is BMW Touch Command. Now, this tablet computer performs all usual tasks you would expect from a tablet, but it is also...
Let me just say this. If this car makes you food... My brain's going to explode.
I don't think it does, but I really hope it does.
Remote control.
Integrated lunch option.
We also have a fully functioning buffet in the trunk.
Oh, wow.
A great number of comfort, entertainment, and navigation functions. And after a hard day's work, use the tablet to kick in the vitality program or to use the massage seats.
Massage seats. That's awesome.
This is the best.
You wish to relax? Change the seat position, the interior lights, or operate the air conditioning. You can operate entertainment options. And then check your messages. All in all, you have 24 different functions at your command. With BMW,
speaking of 24, that's how many hoes you'll have on the side.
Jeez, this car. This car's better than my house.
By using the BMW.
Really? This car's better than my life.
Yeah, oh man.
BMW Touch Command tablet, you can change the seating position of the executive lounge.
Hey, I just want to mention that the auto DJ is recommending the song Dubai Dreamtone.
Ooh.
How much of a coincidence is that? Dubai Dreamtone.
The perfect position to enjoy another stunning novelty.
Oh, the ceiling opens up.
Now, the Sky Lounge underlines the luxurious atmosphere during nighttime driving. More than 15,000 light patterns in the glass create an exceptional interior light ambience. Now, the light patterns match to the six
this
different
is legitimately
colors
better
of the magnificent
than my
ambient
house
light.
Right now.
And the ambient highlight further enhances the lounge character. Now, to complete this luxurious experience for all of your senses, the all-new BMW 7 Series features the ambient air package with 8 different fragrances to choose from. To give you an impressive entry...
It makes your car smell good! All the time!
Oh my god.
Could you just have new car smell all the time?
I mean... Okay, I think new car smell, that's for, like, poor people. The little...
No, but you know
they probably
I mean?
Like, got better fragrances than...
No, but, like, think about how a new BMW 7 Series smells. Probably smells great. Could you have that smell all the time?
Whoa.
That's what I want to know.
I want to... See, I rarely get, like... I think I'm a pretty, like, simple means guy.
Yeah.
But this is really making me want...
This car
to
is,
be
like...
more successful.
Yeah. No, I know. This is like the car where I'm like, oh, I'll never have this car because it's way too nice of a thing for me to have.
If Jesus came back, he would drive this car.
Mm, it's true. And you'd be like, yeah, no, that makes sense for Jesus.
Yeah.
He'd do the hand wave and you'd be like, he's magic, so it makes sense.
He would come back and be like, you know what? I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
It's an exit. The all-new BMW 7 Series is equipped with the new Welcome Light carpet. It elegantly illuminates the collateral areas of the car
like
with
that.
White light patterns.
Simple. Nice touch.
Speaking of light, this is the next generation of headlight technology.
Ooh,
BMW laser light improves visibility and light distribution by a considerable margin.
This is a beautiful
car. Now, compared to a standard LED high beam, the beam range doubles from 300 up to 600 meters. Improved visibility even extends to curvy roads thanks to curve light.
Okay,
while at
what?
The same time, the selective beam...
And they're bending light.
What?
The light adjusts to the road.
This is the best car I've ever seen. This car's got to be like $100,000 at least.
We've got to, okay, at the end of this, we've got to
figure out the price?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, here we go. It says it right here.
Oh.
It is a little over $100,000.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a dazzle upcoming track.
All I've got to do is win the Yakov 50 consecutive times, and I'll be fine.
You know it's a BMW 7 Series with laser light when you see the blue line in the headlights. The kidney grille not only underlines the strong presence of the front, but contributes to lower consumption and CO2
emissions. I like how
emissions.
This
now,
video is like
on
seven, what is it, 7 minutes of just features?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like, oh, watch the car. It's like, no, here's just 7 minutes of features of the car.
I don't. If I'm correct, they haven't even talked about the engine yet.
No.
The additional flaps
probably
with chrome bars
like
open and close to improve the drag coefficient. BMW was the first one to put carbon fiber into a production car. Just think of BMW i or BMW M. Now carbon fiber comes to the all-new BMW 7 Series. Selected sections of the body structure have been fitted with carbon fiber parts. As part of the efficient lightweight strategy, they contribute to an overall weight reduction of up to 130 kilograms over the predecessor.
It's impossible to die in this car.
And they make the structure extremely
this
rigid.
This car will raise
As
your
a result,
children.
The effortless feeling of driving is unmatched in this segment.
Better than your nanny would.
Did your dad leave you when you were young? The Find My Dad feature will locate and reconnect you with lost family members.
Is that why rappers buy it?
Nice.
It goes without saying that the all-new BMW 7 Series is equipped with the latest driver assistant functions by BMW Connected Drive.
Yeah, I don't have
for
to drive
one,
this car,
the
do I?
Lane keeping assistant.
Thank
with
God.
With active side collision protection.
You can drive drunk, no problem.
Safety. And there are also the traffic jam assistant and the steering and lane control assistant that automatically keeps
this
you
car
in
is the
lane
car from iRobot that
to
drives
210
itself.
10 kilometers an hour.
It just gets
now
you wherever you got to go.
Huge step
nap.
Towards autonomous driving. A further new feature that elevates comfort and driving dynamics onto another level is Executive Drive Pro. Active chassis
good.
Components keep
Executive.
The car in perfect balance. In curves, the car stays nearly horizontal, and longitudinal body movement can be minimized. This stereo camera delivers information of the road condition to the car, so it can react to road bumps at lower speeds.
Well, that's cool.
This car literally does
it's
everything.
It's needless to say that the driver of the all-new BMW 7 Series
is pretty tight.
my body can't adjust for road bumps.
Yeah. I think my, like, if we sat in this car, it would eject us out of it. It probably has, like, a setting to, like, keep riffraff.
You'd start burning. It would turn up the heat, and you would just burn.
Access to a multitude of connected drive services. Established and proven ones, such as internet access, real-time traffic information, and a favorable concierge service. But also new ones, like gesture command and remote control parking. And just a few months after the all-new BMW 7 Series launch, an eDrive version will set a new benchmark for efficiency in its class. You can expect no more than 49 grams of CO2 emissions per kilometer.
Oh, so it's environmentally friendly too. On top of everything else, it's environmentally friendly.
It sprinkles seeds out the side and grows trees beside the road.
For every mile you drive, it plants a tree in your name.
All right, well, get out there, buy an all-new BMW 7 Series.
This bonus content has really just been us advertising for BMW, and I think they need it.
If you have a little, you know, if you have $100,000 kicking around and...
I wonder what the comments are like. Are they just all hateful?
No, this is one thing everybody can get behind. They're all happy.
There's probably somebody like, oh, it's not like a Bentley, though.
Yeah. Well, I need to get out there and work and make some money so I can buy one of these. So I think we're going to wrap up our bonus content and get out of here. It's been a great show. It's been a great bonus show. Hamza, thanks for coming in.
Always. It was a lot
of
fun.
You did a good job. I was pleasantly surprised. No, I'm just joking.
You were pleasantly surprised that I was who I am and not who you thought I was.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. And join me next week for Vancouverite, your weekly hangout with great guests. And we're always here on CITR 101.9.